It's Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson.
Hello!
Filling in for Greg Mackling.
Yes.
I think there's a bit of a theme for this show that kind of just stumbled together.
Are you this musical usually?
Well, for me, the theme actually is starstruck. Because, for example, working with the 34th greatest Canadian of all time, the man who inspired me to get into radio.
Yeah, there's that's cool. Cool for me as well.
Guns N' Roses, of course, is in town tonight. There's going to be thousands of people who are starstruck. Mm-hmm. Chris Jericho is joining us at 1:30.
Big star.
Big star, indeed. At 2 o'clock, we're going to talk to the legendary Bob Irving. He hates it when you talk about him like that, though.
Bob is a big star, though. Yep. Both of us will be starstruck off the news at 2.
At 2:30, we're going to talk to a guy from Bristol, England, who was rather starstruck by a woman from Winnipeg.
Yes.
If you happened to be in Bristol, England 3 weeks ago and met a guy named Matt, he's trying to find you. So we're going to hear his story at 2:30.
This is a great story. You've got to tune in for that.
And then at 3 o'clock, we're going to talk to Our Lady Peace.
Wow.
So look at that.
Yeah.
How this all came together.
No kidding.
Right now, we're going to talk to another star. He's one of the co-stars of Power Mornings with Philly, Joe, and Randy on Winnipeg's Rock Power 97. It's Phil Aubrey. Philly joins us to talk about Guns N' Roses at Investors Group Field. Phil, you're going to GNR tonight, right? Have you ever seen them before?
I have never seen Guns N'
never.
Roses. Never. Never in my life. This is a huge moment for me tonight. I will say, however, that, you know, for a long time, you guys will both know this, the deal was, Guns N' Roses is never going to get back together.
Right.
This is never going to happen. I remember it was Axl said back in the day, like, someone's going to have to die, either myself or Slash, for this reunion to ever happen. And then Slash went out and said, stop thinking about it, stop talking about it, it's not going to happen. I always said, and I'm not putting myself over, but I always said there's too much money involved in a Guns N' Roses reunion. It will happen someday, mark my words. And I started to wonder, you know, because it took longer than I thought. But here we are, and I can't wait. I grew up on this band.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
I've never seen them live either, although it is a band I would love to see live, so I'm sort of jealous. As I said, I had a pair of tickets. I gave them away on social media to try and build up my Instagram followers. So there you go. Welcome to 2017.
You're a good man, Hal.
I am, but somebody will enjoy the show on me tonight, so that's great. But you can tell us all about it when it's over.
I absolutely will. And we're hearing like three-hour shows in other markets, great reviews. Like, they're not... They're not doing this, you know, if there's a song you want to hear, you're going to hear it tonight.
Yeah, they're not phoning it. Well,
that's right, phoning it in. That's the phrase I was looking for.
We talked to Alan Cross yesterday just about music in general, and he mentioned that Guns N' Roses as an example. He said last year they made $44 million, and of that $44 million, only $600,000 came from record sales. The rest came from their touring.
Yeah.
So this just hits the nail on the head with what you said.
That's why
there's
all
too much
bands,
money involved.
That's why they're all doing it now, right? Yeah.
You have to tour. You have to do it big. I like that you talked to Alan Cross one day and then me the next. Wow, like, you don't need me in here.
Well, he was the opening act. You're the headliner. Philly.
He was the Our Lady Peace.
Which will be good seeing those guys again, too.
Yeah, actually, just talking to some people around the office, and the original plan was to pregame somewhere, but then we thought, let's go see OLP.
Yeah.
That's a great Canadian band right there. You know, you can mingle throughout the concourse at IGF and then check out Our Lady Peace, and the big boys come on later.
Yeah. Is this true? I've heard a couple of the Guns N' Roses shows have been early. They've not like an hour late or 2 hours late. They've actually started some shows early. It's almost like a seniors dinner at 4:30. You know? It's like we're at Perkins.
It's unbelievable. I have, too bad I didn't get the seniors discount on the tickets, by the way. But no, I have heard that too. Like back in the old Axl days.
Right. He might not show.
Right. You don't even know. It's a roll of the dice. But no, they're going on as like Our Lady Peace on at 7 o'clock. And then we're thinking no later than 9 for Guns N' Roses. And when you're doing a 3-hour show, which they have done in some markets, I guess you better get on by at least 9. So yeah, they're on time. So don't linger thinking Axl's going to be late.
Yeah. Have you done another stadium show in Winnipeg?
AC/DC.
Yeah. Do you like the feel of a stadium show, or would you rather be in an arena? Or I'm not so sure I'm sold on big stadium shows.
I like the stadium show.
You do.
And there's something about the energy of that many people in one place and the outdoor factor of it, and especially if it's going to be a nice night.
Yeah.
I really like the buzz of an outdoor show. It feels big.
I remember, was it? Who did Axl Rose pair up with? Was it AC/DC?
Yeah.
Didn't he break his leg? Yes. I think he, like, right when they were about to start their tour, and he had to do his show in a chair with his leg sort of up.
In Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters.
Which is the way I watch TV now, by the way. Just so you know.
Hal wanted to bring his recliner to the Guns N' Roses.
Right. They wouldn't let me, that's so why I said, I'm giving my tickets away.
But yeah, he had to use Dave Grohl. The Foo Fighters had a chair made because he got hurt, and Axl wound up using it for one of his shows. So yeah, small world, the rock world, but yeah.
So it sounds to me like Axl Rose, who was once a diva, it sounds like he's come around and has grown up a little bit and put his big boy pants on.
Perhaps. I figure it was just like when him and Slash decided to do this again, I'm assuming there were some ground rules. And being on time would have been probably number one from Slash because he hated that stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, for this to happen, I think you're right. He had to grow up a little bit. I'm assuming he's not, at this point, he's still not the greatest human being in the world to deal with creatively. I'm just going to go on a limb and assume that. But yeah, he had to clearly get himself straight if this was going to work, a reunion of this magnitude.
So if Phil had a bucket list of shows you had to see before you die, you just said this is your first chance to see the Gunners live.
Mm-hmm.
What other bands would you want to see before you die, Phil, as I get really depressing on the show here?
It's really got morbid. Do you know something? You've been talking to my doctor. I got lucky and saw Black Sabbath recently.
Oh, cool.
They were on my list. Yep. I almost feel embarrassed to say this. I've never seen the Rolling Stones.
Really?
Never. And
not even here in Winnipeg when they were here, right?
I missed out. I don't know how many, if we'll ever see them in Winnipeg again. I might have to travel to see them because I would love to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we'd all love to see Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, that still always lingers. Yeah. Would that ever be a huge tour if they ever decided to do it? That would be one of them. There's a few of them out there.
I'll tell you something really sad, and I have said this on the air at CGOB, and I'll tell you now. My favorite concert, of all the concerts I've seen, and I've seen some great concerts in my rock radio days, my favorite concert...
Bette Midler.
Michael Bublé. Close. Michael Bublé. And I'm sorry to admit that, but you know what? I have very eclectic music taste.
Yeah.
But it's about many things. And you can go and see a great band... and it can be a terrible show.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not a real big live concert kind of guy anyhow, but yeah, Michael Bublé would be the top on my list.
Was that a Christmas Bublé show or just a standard Bublé show?
You mean the one I watch every year on TV? No, it was the one here in Winnipeg at the new arena.
Because I would love to see the Bublé Christmas special live, too. But I'm sure the guy puts on a great show. No, I won't judge Hal, I swear.
Well, and Shania's touring again. I'm kind of excited about that. That's why I was put out to pasture over here.
That's why you're not doing rock radio anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, have fun tonight, Philly.
I absolutely can't wait. And they're gonna shake the foundations of IG Field for sure.
One more question before we wrap it up here, Phil. Do we have any idea what kind of a show they're gonna put on as far as like all the bells and whistles they're bringing with them? Do you know?
Lots of pyro, big stage setup. That's what I've seen on YouTube and what I hear.
Okay.
But otherwise, pretty standard.
It's pretty standard stadium rock fair. Explosions and plenty. Good.
Yeah, you won't be able to hear it work tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
Philly, thank you, pal.
Thanks, guys.
Philly from Power Mornings with Philly Joe and Randy on Winnipeg's Rock Power 97. He's excited to go. And, I mean, we gave away Guns N' Roses tickets on this station last week.
You guys were lucky. You guys were giving away Guns N' Roses tickets. And on Hal Anderson weekends, I was giving away boxes of macaroons and bags of ice, which melted before people got here. I'm kidding. We have some nice prizes, too. But I was jealous, though. You guys were giving away some great prizes. And so I had this idea when I knew I was going to be Greg Mackling today. I said to Brett, hey, why don't I phone some of these people and find out if there are some live wires out there that are maybe really pumped about going to see the band. I called Dean, and he is going with Tammy. Here's a conversation we had with him. So, Dean, you won tickets with Mackling and McGarry on CJOB, right?
Yes.
And you knew right away where the tickets were going.
Well, I know if I didn't ask her, I would definitely hear about it.
So you guys are going together? You're going with your sister-in-law, Tammy?
Yes.
And you found out that this is actually on her bucket list? She really wanted to go see Guns N' Roses before she died? It's this big a deal?
This is one of three concerts she wants to see. She absolutely has to see.
What would have happened, Dean, if you decided to take somebody else to the show?
Well, I really don't want to find out, but I probably would have heard about it for sure.
Is this a show that, like, did you try to win the tickets because you knew Tammy wanted to go, or do you want to
she told us, she'd been telling us for weeks, if we have a chance, so, yeah.
All right, let's talk to Tammy. Put her on the line.
Oh, okay, hold on. Here, Tammy.
Hello.
Tammy, why is this such a big deal?
It's from my childhood.
Yeah? What does the band mean to you? Why? Explain.
It's because I listened to it with all my friends, and I really liked Axl Rose.
Did you have a crush on Axl back in the day?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Tammy, which album did you listen to? Which was the album from your childhood?
Appetite for Destruction.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Favorite song?
Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
Did you have any Guns N' Roses t-shirts or anything like that?
Yes, and I forgot it at the lake.
What are you wearing tonight, then?
I'm going to buy one.
Yeah? So you seem kind of reserved, I'll be honest with you. I was thinking you'd be going crazy. You're going to see your band.
I'm nervous. I'm really sorry.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
The shirt that you left at the lake, is this a shirt that you've had since your childhood?
No, it's a shirt my daughter bought me for my birthday.
Did you have any t-shirts when you were a kid?
Yes, but they're all way too small.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. Believe me.
Did you have any posters of Axl Rose on your wall?
Oh, yeah.
What is it about Axl that that you like or liked?
He's cute.
Is he still cute, though?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. You're easy to please. Listen, Tammy, have fun tonight.
Oh, I'm going to.
Dean and Tammy going to see Guns N' Roses tonight at Investors Group Field. Bucket list concert for Tammy. I would imagine it's a bucket list concert. I mean, we heard Phil say he's never seen them. It's got to be this is a big deal for tens of thousands of people.
And I think, too, Brett, you know, when you're in that setting, a stadium show, there is something about a stadium show. I'm not a terribly big fan of stadium shows. I saw the Stones here, but Philly's right. You know, you've got tens of thousands of people. You're all fans. It's loud. It's, you know, lots of pyro, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I remember when AC/DC played the stadium right next door to us here at Polo Park when the stadium was still there, just kind of walking out of work. And the stadium, we were behind the stadium from where we are, and just seeing like fire erupting from over top of everything. I thought, I kind of want to be in there now.
Yeah. Well, funny AC/DC story, back in my rock days, I remember being in the old arena. And Whole Lotta Rosie comes on, one of my favorite AC/DC tunes. And all I remember is security telling me, sir, you have to put the stool down. I literally had a stool in my hand and I was banging it on the side of the wall to Whole Lotta Rosie, right? Because there is just something about certain, and AC/DC is one of my favorite bands. There's just something about certain bands, certain songs that just, they do. They take you somewhere else, right? It's crazy.
Do you have a bucket list? Concert, 204-780-6868. What is the bucket list show for you? Maybe it's Guns N' Roses. Maybe you're going to the show tonight and you've got a story you want to tell us. Or maybe it's a completely different show. I don't know. Maybe you've already gotten your bucket list show in recent years.
What would yours be, Brett?
I don't know. I was trying to think about that. I used to go to all sorts of concerts when I was younger. They were always like little shows. Yeah. I think one of the biggest shows that I saw was at the Concert Bowl at the arena, and it was only like 3,000 people. And that actually, maybe that's the show that turned me away from live music, because it was I, Mother Earth, and Moist. They were playing back to back. And I used to always go into the mosh pit, the mosh area, where all the people would crowd surf and stuff. I'm too big to crowd surf. And apparently someone else was too big to crowd surf, because this guy comes flying at me and his boot lands squarely on my face.
Ouch.
My nose, I still don't know how I didn't break my nose, but I bled all over the place. And that was, I think, the last live show I went to where I went anywhere near the stage.
I never understood that whole pit thing. Do they still do that at concerts now?
I haven't been.
There will be some of that tonight for sure.
I'm sure there will be. Yeah. I haven't been to a concert with a pit for a
bunch
long
of 50, 60-year-old people getting tossed around in the crowd, right?
204-780-6868. What is your bucket list concert. 204-780-6868. You can call us at that number, or you can text us at that number. And of course, you can email us, brett@cjob.com. I'm assuming hal@cjob.com.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Your forecast is coming up next. Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson on 680 CJOB. Hal filling in for Greg Mackling for the next 3 days. Guns N' Roses tonight. Bucket list concert for many people in this city. Al is at 204-780-6868. Al, what's your bucket list show?
Well, I actually already saw two of my bucket list shows. It was actually both at the Burton Cummings Theater.
Oh, yeah?
One was Primus, like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, like Winona's Big Brown Beaver Fair.
Yeah, it was a really, really good show. The only thing I didn't like about it is I hate catching bands at the end of the tour. And it was the second last show on the tour. So
yeah, they're kind of, I would imagine Primus would have been pretty worn out at the end, eh?
Yeah, especially if he wasn't jumping around the stage like he usually does. But the best concert that I ever went to was Lamb of God at the Burt.
So you like the hard rock.
He's hardcore, yeah.
Oh, yeah, as heavy as it can get. And the best part of the concert was it was a week before they installed the air conditioning.
Oh, no. Oh,
so it was hot in there.
So you say that was the best part?
Yeah, well, it was the best concert. It wasn't the best part of the concert.
Oh, okay.
The best part of the concert was the concert itself.
Yep.
But, oh, man, did it get warm in there.
Okay. Al, hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate it at 204-780-6868. Al, we're getting a whole bunch of text messages.
Yeah, getting some really good ones here at 204-780-6868. My husband and our daughter are going to GNR tonight. They share a love for this band. In fact, at her wedding, they chose an acoustic version of Sweet Child of Mine for the father-daughter dance. As far as bucket list concerts go, Tommy says Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that would be a huge show.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are some that you just kind of have to see. Here are a couple others, too, that are really good ones. If you're a little older, Chuck Berry and Jerry Lee Lewis in Vegas, saw them together in 1986.
Cool.
Wow. I didn't think they'd still be going in 86, but apparently. So that's kind of cool. Bucket list. Getting a few here. You see, oh, Bieber. Somebody said Bieber. Come on. Springsteen, there's another Springsteen. Yeah, getting some really good text messages at 204-780-6868.
Oh, look at this. Somebody said, I too was not impressed with the crowd surfing at Moist. They're at the show that I was at. And they too have not returned to the floor.
Texter, do you have blood on your boot? We need to know if you're the one responsible for almost breaking Brett McGarry's nose.
I should have taken a mold.
So keep them coming, 204-780-6868. You can email hal@cjob.com, and it's brett@cjob.com. Right, Brett?
That is correct. Okay. And one more text before we break for news. Saw Guns N' Roses open for The Cult. So Guns N' Roses was the opening band for The Cult in the old Winnipeg Arena.
That would have been a good show.
First time I walked out on an opening act.
Oh,
wow. Oh, my God. Monster talent with monster egos to go along with it. I had a sense then that they wouldn't be together very long. That said, I love their music. Would have loved to see them tonight, as by all accounts, they are putting on a great show.
Hey, we've got a couple people on the phone. Will they wait now through the break for us here? Well, they'll do, or do you want to squeeze them in real quick?
Well, you know what? Why don't you talk? I'll go read the news. Why don't you talk to them?
I'll talk to them. Yeah. Okay, so stay on the line, Ron and Guy. Stay on the line.
And I'll break for news. And then after that, we're going to hopefully talk to Chris Jericho. Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson filling in for Greg Mackling today, tomorrow, and Monday. And we've been talking about how the theme of the show today kind of ended up being about being a little starstruck.
Yeah.
I'm a little starstruck today.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is our next guest.
Welcome to Raw!
Chris Jericho is in Winnipeg getting ready for the Words of Jericho, happening tomorrow night at Club Regent Event Center with guests Cyrus and Lance Storm. And Chris Jericho joins us live on 680 CJOB. Chris, thanks for taking some time to talk to us today. Are you going to Guns N' Roses tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I'm actually friends with a couple guys in the band, and we were just talking back and forth about how this coincidence of how I have my show on Friday and they have theirs on Thursday. And then the coincidence continued that we're actually staying in the same hotel and on the same floor. So it's pretty rock and roll around here this week, but it's going to be good and I'm excited. It's a good weekend or end of week, whatever you want to call it.
So as far as music goes, before we get into anything else here, actually, I just want to play a quick clip of a song of yours because your music career continues to enjoy success. This is a clip of the song Judas from Chris's band Fozzy. So this is this the, I mean, I saw like 8 million views on YouTube. Is this the, yeah, the biggest song of your career so far?
Yeah, by far, man. Those 8 million views have been in the past 4 months, too, since it came out. The song is number one in the States. So it's just all across the board. It's been really cool. And like, Fozzy's had a lot of success. But when you have that hit song, like I said, like a number one song on rock radio, it just changes the entire landscape. So it's a pretty good time right now. And it's pretty exciting where every day something new comes across the desk about, oh, you got nominated for this award, or there's 8 million views on YouTube, or, you know, you've gone from number three to number one, or whatever it may be. So it's pretty cool. For whatever reason, that song just struck a chord, and we're getting ready to release the record in October and take advantage of all the buzz and momentum that we have.
That's actually what I wanted to ask you about, Chris. You have done a great job of taking, you know, wrestling and taking it in so many different areas, and you've had success with, you know, the music and now, you know, the words of Jericho. And was that a plan? Did you go into that saying, all right, we're going to do this and then we're going to do that, and this will kind of, you know, dovetail nicely into this? Or was it just, hey, great opportunities, let's do them as they come?
I'd like to be able to tell you there was some grand master plan and I'm not kind of a genius, but it really wasn't that way. It was just kind of like, it's one thing works and then something else, another opportunity rises. I've been taking advantage of that. I mean, when I was a kid, I wanted to be in a rock and roll band and I wanted to be a wrestler. Those are kind of the two things that I wanted to do, and just never really looked back. I never really listened to people that told me that I couldn't do something. So now when these opportunities come up, it's just like, if I think that I can really do it and I think it's going to be something cool, then I'll do it and not really care if people like it or don't like it. If I believe in it and I think I can make it work, 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what happens.
Got to remind everybody, in case you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Chris Jericho. He is at Club Region Event Center tomorrow night, The Words of Jericho, with Cyrus and Lance Storm as special guests. Chris is a Winnipeg boy. He went to Red River Creative Communications. Fun fact, Hal, I actually, for my big CreeCom, because I was in CreeCom as well, for my big project, right, I actually did mine on Chris Jericho.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you remember that interview back in 2004, I think, Chris. But
you did that? That's cool. Right on. Yeah. Did you get a good mark?
I did get a good mark. Yeah, thank you. Everybody was like, you got Chris Jericho? That's awesome, man. But, I've been a big wrestling fan for a long time. You're one of the best wrestlers there's ever been. But I think an argument could be made as well that your true gift is your mind, your intellect. And how is it that you, after all those years of physical abuse in the ring, how did you protect from getting your bell rung?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can really protect it. It's just, you know, so it's just like if you play hockey or football, you know, sometimes it happens. And I just was very lucky that I never really had too many problems. I kind of had a little bit of a reputation in wrestling that I never got hurt. Pat Patterson, one of Vince's right-hand men and kind of my mentor, calls me the hockey puck because he says you can't break a hockey puck. And I'm like, well, you're not from Winnipeg where hockey pucks break all the time because it's minus 40 outside. But, you know, I had that reputation of never getting hurt. And I did rely a lot on my mind throughout my career, because even when I started, I knew that I'll never be the biggest guy on the show, but I can be the most charismatic and have the best character. And I think that's something that's continued on to this day, of just like, when you have a connection with the crowd and a connection with the audience, no matter what it is that you're doing, people will always continue to pay to see you and come watch your work. And whether that's wrestling or music or like you said, you know, my podcast, Talk is Jericho, or doing these Words of Jericho shows, or, you know, I have my fourth book comes out on Tuesday as well. Writing is something I love to do. So I just think that, like I said, like I always kind of consider myself to be a brand rather than just a wrestler or just a musician. I kind of wanted to just kind of have Chris Jericho be synonymous with quality projects and entertainment. And that's kind of why I do so many things, because it's all part of being an entertainer. I'm like a modern day vaudevillian performer or something like that.
And, you know, here you are again taking my hand and leading me to my next question, because I wanted to ask you what kind of an impact Winnipeg had on you growing up. How much credit does Winnipeg get for the success of Chris Jericho now?
Well, one thing, I'm never cold is one thing. Ever.
Yeah,
never cold.
No kidding.
You know, it's funny. I live in Florida now, and it's, you know, it gets to be like, you know, 50 degrees or something, and people are freaking out and putting on parkas, and I'm like, are you kidding me? You guys have no idea what cold really is. But I think, too, like, I talked about this with a couple of my other friends, that there's actually a couple guys from Winnipeg that played in Slash's band, the Conspirators, before the Guns N' Roses reunion. We talk a lot about that. Like, what is it about Winnipeg? I think it toughens you up a bit mentally because it's so far off the radar. You know, I think if you grew up in a Toronto or a Vancouver or New York or something, it's probably easier to get into entertainment or easier to get your name out there. When you live in Winnipeg, you got to try a little bit harder and travel a little bit farther to make these things happen. So, that could have something to do with it. But I love Winnipeg. I'm very proud of growing up here. And I love coming back here. I really do, whether it's with Fozzy, whether it's WWE, or now doing the Words of Jericho show. You know, because, I mean, it's a great city, and I found it's really grown over the last few years to be kind of a really kind of a cool place. Like, there's a great area. Osborne Village is always a lot of fun to go hang out at. And just, I think the city, it seems like once the Jets came back, when the Jets left, being an outsider living outside of Winnipeg, it seemed like the heart of Winnipeg was ripped out. And then when the Jets came back, it seemed like there was a lot of spark in the city again. And it's a great city to come and hang out in. I really think that a lot of what I've accomplished is because I grew up in a great town that really appreciated entertainment. It's always a great wrestling town. It's always a great rock and roll town. And I was able to grow up with both of those influences. So, like I said, I think it's a great place to grow up, and it's a great place to come back and hang out for a few days for sure as well.
As far as rock and roll goes, Chris, didn't you host something called the Metal Hammer Golden Gods Awards?
Yeah, that's actually over in England. I've hosted that 2 years in a row. And then I hosted another show here called the Golden Gods Awards. It's now changed to the Loudwire Awards. That's something that I do. I actually hosted the Classic Rock Awards with Jimmy Page and Brian May in attendance, which was pretty intimidating at that point. But it's another thing that, you know, once again, I know how to connect with an audience. I know how to run a show. And it's not easy to host an award show. And there's been people that have, you know, whenever I do it, it's like, oh, so-and-so hosted last year, and man, it didn't go very well. Because there's a certain art form to it. And once you can figure it out, that's another thing that I enjoy doing as well. And have a little bit of a reputation for it. I think the guys were calling me the Billy Crystal of the Golden Gods Awards. And that, like, Billy Crystal hosted the Oscars like 8 years in a row. So I'm the Billy Crystal of heavy metal. There's your tagline. Chris Jericho, the Billy Crystal of rock and roll.
How many people are listening to your podcast now? That's the one, out of everything you have done and do, Chris, that's the one that blows me away. One of the biggest podcasts out there right now.
Yeah, man, it really is. And, you know, that's, once again, not exaggerating. It's one of the top podcasts in the world for any genre. And I think we're over 210 million views or downloads at this point in just about 4 years. And I mean, the reason for that is, it's like, I know what it's like to get asked the same dumb questions all the time. I know what it's like to have an interview that's not fun.
Sorry about all the same dumb questions, by the way.
No, you guys are great. You guys are great. I can tell. I'm into it. When you're engaged, time just flies. But I think when people do my show, they have a great time. And just to exemplify that is that I had this morning, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses did his first and only interview since the Guns N' Roses reunion with me for my show. And I shouldn't even say interview, because it's not an interview. It's just a conversation. And that's why the show works. We just go and have fun and tell knock-knock jokes and do whatever the hell we want to do. And I thought that was pretty cool. Like, of all the people and all the places, and everybody wants to talk to Guns N' Roses, and the only interview he's done is with me. And I thought that was pretty, that's kind of a little feather in my cap as well.
Absolutely.
Because my show is fun, and that's the idea behind it.
So tomorrow night, the Words of Jericho at Club Region Event Center. What can people expect when they go to the casino to see Y2J?
Once again, it's I don't do a lot of these shows, but it just seems like I've done, it's international. I've done England, Ireland, Australia, United States and now Canada. And basically, it's a one-man show. It's the classic one-man show of just me going up and telling stories from my career. If you've read any of my books, you'll know some of the stories, and some of them are new. But it's just a lot of fun. I think you learn to tell stories when you've been doing this as long as I have. And I think people like hearing kind of the behind the scenes of some of these things. And, you know, it's fun. It's comedy, man. You know, it's being on, like I said, just connecting. If you connect, you'll always have a good show. So I'm really excited about it. And I think it's almost sold out. And that's not, once again, some kind of exaggeration. I think there's literally like only a few dozen tickets left. So it's going to be packed. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun, lots of laughs. And Lance and Cyrus are going to open the show, do a little set of their own. And it's just a good time. Like I said, it makes people laugh, and puts a smile on their face. And that's just another thing that I enjoy to do.
Well, tickets start at $35 if you are interested in going to see the Words of Jericho. I mean, Chris, you're just such an outstanding Winnipeg success story. You're one, like I said, one of the best wrestlers ever. You're a great rock performer. I saw you guys perform at, can't remember if it was Cowboys or the Coliseum, the Windsor Park Inn, whatever it was called at the time. You're a great band.
Yeah, that was a while ago, man. That was fun. We'll have to come back to town. We haven't played in Winnipeg for a while, so we'll have to come back and rock it.
All right. Well, hey, Chris Jericho, thanks for joining us today, and enjoy the concert tonight and have fun tomorrow.
Should be fun, man. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Chris Jericho, Winnipeg's own Chris Jericho, the Words of Jericho happening tomorrow night at Club Region Event Center with Cyrus and Lance Storm. And again, the show, the VIP event starts at 6. Doors for the show open at 7, and then the show starts at 8 o'clock. And again, tickets start at $35 at Club Region Event Center.
He's got it right. He absolutely has it dead on. You have to be a brand, right? Whatever you do, make it a strong brand and get it out there so people can buy it.
Yeah. And he's like, when I think about just wrestlers who have sort of diversified, other than The Rock, I don't know that I can think of one.
Not very many.
Maybe Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I mean, because Hulk Hogan was just such a huge name.
Mm-hmm.
But since from the WWE Attitude Era, The Rock and Chris Jericho have branched out the most. He does still appear from time to time in wrestling. I think he actually made an appearance on SmackDown just last month. So
we didn't have time. I was going to ask him how he feels about wrestling now, because it's certainly different than when, you know, he was at the peak in that biz, right?
Yeah.
Different now.
Yeah. I was so nervous to fall down avoid falling down a wrestling rabbit hole that I didn't even
Yeah, don't even go there. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Hal.
No, that's all right.
148 on 680 CJOB. We're going to check your forecast, and then we Hal took a couple of phone calls about bucket list concerts. So we'll hear those after we check your forecast up next. Brett McGarry with the 34th greatest Canadian of all time, Hal Anderson, filling in for Greg Mackling. And we were talking about bucket list concerts earlier.
Yeah.
And Hal spoke with Ron.
So the one I want to see, I've seen two out of three so far. I've seen Celine Dion and Cher. And, of course, next year I'm going to try and get tickets to see Shania Twain.
Yes. Do you like her new song? I really like her new song.
Oh, yeah, I do. And I've seen her on TV and never seen her perform, have all her music, and I would just love to go.
Yeah, life's about to get good. Really good song. Ron, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
And is it Guy or Guy on the phone?
Prefer Guy.
Guy, what about you? Your bucket list concert you would like to see?
Well, it's actually not a single concert. It is, it's actually a cruise. And they've started doing them for about 4 or 5 years. They are called Cruise to the Edge. And it's a one-week-long cruise ship adventure leaving Florida. You go wherever the cruise ship goes for a week, and it's progressive rock music. And the boat has nothing but fans and bands, and the bands all mingle with the fans for the whole week-long excursion. And you can catch probably 25 to 30 bands.
Oh, cool.
And it's nothing but music for the whole cruise. That's my bucket list.
That sounds like fun. What kind of bands?
Progressive rock. Bands I'd probably name you wouldn't know.
Yeah, so newer bands.
Well, no, actually, my favorite band, Marillion, like, they've been around since 1985.
I've heard of them, yeah.
Yeah, but bands in the genre, perhaps, of Pink Floyd, Genesis, Yes.
Yeah.
Yes have been on this concert. Marillion's been on it.
Cool.
But just a host of just tremendous musicians. And and they're supposed to be just sold right out as soon as the tickets go on sale, and it's supposed to be great, but I won't hold you.
All right, Guy, and you know, actually, a lot of these bands now, they're doing that, right? They're doing the cruise ships because they can make lots of money doing it, and so they're out there doing it. A lot of these bands that were big at one point are doing the cruise ships now.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Guy.
Okay, have a good day.
Hal, I got a text here. This is blowing my mind. So I mentioned earlier that I was at, this wasn't a bucket list show, but I was at iMother Earth and Moist. They played the Concert Bowl at the old Winnipeg Arena in the late 1990s. I don't know exactly when. And I told the story of how I was in the pit and there's people crowd surfing. Usually I'm one of the people who does, I can't, I'm too big to be a crowd surfer, but I'm one of the people.
You're helping the others surf.
And I throw the, you know, the little teeny boppers as they go along. And, I got a boot to the face. Somebody landed square on my face and I bled like a stuffed pig. And somebody texted saying, I was at that iMother Earth Moist concert with my ex-girlfriend. She snuck a camera in and took photos, of course, mostly of the bands, but she took some pics of the mosh pit and one had a man with a bleeding nose.
Come on.
I wonder if it was you. It had to be.
Must have been.
If you're listening, can you send the picture to Brett at cgob.com? I know you said it was funny. Your ex-girlfriend.
How
but
random would that be if the guy be bleeding all over the place from the late 90s?
That's unbelievable. I can't believe you remember that.
Oh, that's funny.
He was talking about that cruise. Have you ever been on a cruise ship?
Never done a cruise. It was interesting when we had the eclipse on Monday. Mm-hmm. Bonnie Tyler was on a cruise ship singing when the eclipse was on. What was her song called?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, but a lot of bands are doing that now. They make really good money. They do these fan cruises. Mm-hmm. They go out and they make lots of glue and everybody has a great time.
You know that song, I think, shot to number one on iTunes, Total Eclipse of the Heart, this week?
Sure. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
We're going to pause, and then after Global News at 2 o'clock, we are going to speak with Bob Irving, who will tee up the Winnipeg Blue Bomber game tonight, kickoff at 6:30, pregame at 4 o'clock, a supersized pregame show starting at 4, which means no The News with Richard Kluche and Julie Buckingham.
Hey, by the way, new guy here wants to know, are we giving away the Jericho tickets, or how's that going to work?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. My God. What? Okay.
I'm just following along here, so I don't know.
Yeah, you have a better memory than I do, Hal. No, I appreciate that. We need you to answer this question. Okay. It's a simple one.
All right.
If you know what Chris Jericho's real name is, call us at 204-780-6868. What is Chris Jericho's real name? If you know the answer, you could be going to see The Words of Jericho tomorrow night at Club Region Event Center with Cyrus and Lance Storm. What is Chris Jericho's real name? 204-780-6868. Global News at 2 o'clock is up next. Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson filling in for Greg Mackling for the next couple of days. And before we move on to our next topic, just want to quickly congratulate Dale Sawchuk, who is going to see Chris Jericho.
Behold the true sexy boy!
One of my favorite clips of Jericho from his time in WWE. Winnipeg's own Chris Jericho performing tomorrow night at Club Region Event Center, The Words of Jericho. And Dale knew the answer to the trivia question. It was a simple one. What's Chris Jericho's real name?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
No, I don't.
It's Chris Irvin.
Ah.
The son of Ted Irvin, hockey player.
Well, of course. Yeah, so he did. I thought maybe he changed his whole name, but Chris was actually his name.
Yep.
Mm,
so
interesting.
There you go. So congratulations, Dale Sawchuk, going to see Chris Jericho tomorrow night. Happening tonight, Hal.
Yes.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Bombers, and on the phone to talk with us about it from beautiful downtown Montreal is Bob Irving. Hello, Bob.
Hi, you guys. Chris Irvin took the CRECOM course at Red River. Did you know that?
We talked about that, yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, same course as I did, Creative Communications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's stockpiled a little more cash than you and I have, right?
I think he's done a little bit better than I have. Yeah, that's a safe bet.
That's for sure. Yeah, no, it's a great story. We had a great conversation with him, and we're looking forward to chatting with you now, Bob, because, Guns N' Roses, and Jericho, by the way, is going to Guns N' Roses tonight. Big Guns N' Roses show in town, but, of course, the Bombers are in action against the Owls tonight, and Shadow this morning had one of the newspaper guys from Montreal on, saying that even at this point, he's not sure what the Owls are all about. We should win this one tonight, right, Bob?
Well, you say we should win or the Bombers should win. I don't know about that, Hal. I don't know that any team ever should win, especially in the CFL this year. Montreal, for all their ups and downs, has beaten Calgary. They're the only team that's done that.
True.
And they had the Bombers in a world of hurt a month ago, as you'll recall. They were ahead of Winnipeg 40-28 with 100 seconds left, and then the Bombers staged that miracle comeback. Herb Zerkowski's the writer you talked about. And he's right about the Alouettes. They're 3-5. They've played some outstanding football, but then they've had some real clunkers. They got beat 36-8 by Toronto last Sunday in Toronto. So they've been a very, very erratic team. And I guess if you look at it on paper, the Bombers, if they play as well as they've been playing, should win the game. But Montreal's 3-1 at home. The best football they've played has been here at Molson Stadium. They've been really bad, 0-4 on the road. So I think you have to take that into consideration. And the other thing is they're coming off that embarrassing game in Toronto. They will be extremely fired up tonight. They remember blowing that game in Winnipeg. So, you know, there's some intangibles that I think the Owls have going for them. They have a very good defense. And, again, you wouldn't know it from the way they played Toronto last weekend. But their defensive stats are among the best in the Canadian Football League. So I don't take them lightly at all. I really don't. I like the Bombers' chances every time they play now because they're playing so well. But this Montreal team is no pushover.
Yeah. Hey, Shadow hinted at a bigger issue this morning when he was talking to the newspaper guy from Montreal, saying, you know, we don't like to see the teams in the East playing so poorly and the crowds aren't what they were, especially in Montreal, back to the days of Calvillo and a better record. Are you at all worried, Bob, about these teams and maybe, you know, one or more of the teams disappearing if this kind of play and crowds continue in the East?
Well, first of all, Hal, I don't think any teams will ever disappear. You know, people always sort of talk in those terms when there's troubles. But right. When was the last time a team in the Canadian Football League disappeared? You can't even name one, except those American teams, and that was another story altogether. However, I agree with you, Hal. It's troublesome. Yeah. Montreal used to attract 23,000 to Olympic Stadium, to Molson Stadium all the time. They're hard-pressed to get 20,000 for a game now. Attendance is strong in Hamilton and Ottawa, even though those teams aren't very good, at least it is for now. But Toronto's been a disaster this year with their move to BMO Field. And with the Argos, you just wonder how much longer the owners will put up with that, because it doesn't appear to be improving there. It appears to be getting worse. And those things are troublesome for the league. They have to be. And I've been around the league a long time, and I care about it. And when I see these things, it bothers me. I'm not sure what the answer is. Here in Montreal, it's just a matter of winning. I think they got spoiled here with all those great years they had with Calvillo and Mark Trestman and that gang. I think they'll be okay here. As long as the ownership, and it's Bob Wettenhall here, he's owned the team for over 10 years, and as long as he's prepared to go along break even, lose a couple of million every year, there'll never be a problem. If he gets tired of that, then who's going to jump in and own the team? And the same question in Toronto. They've got, you know, deep-pocketed owners right now, but if they lose $5 or $6 or $7 million every year, how long will they go along with that? So are there some concerning signs? For sure there are. In the East, there's none in the West. And Randy Ambrosi, the new commissioner, that will be his primary priority, is to get things straightened away in Toronto, in particular with the ownership. In terms of the competitive part of it, Hal, I can't explain that. The teams in the West have been better than the teams in the East for years now. And there's no significant reason for that other than they're operating the teams more successfully and more smarter. There's a salary cap in this league. There's no advantage if you had a ton of money that you could go out and buy players, because you can't do that. There's a salary cap, and it's enforced. So the teams in the West are just sharper.
Bob Irving is our guest. He joins us live from Montreal. Winnipeg Blue Bombers taking on the Montreal Alouettes tonight at 6:30. Pre-game is at 4 o'clock. And Bob, isn't that funny how that happens in sports sometimes, where a particular conference in whatever league it is will sort of establish its domination over the other conference for a series of years? It almost becomes like a conference kind of dynasty. I mean, I know that's happened a lot in the NBA, where the West is far superior than the East in many years.
Yeah, these things are cyclical, Brett. I subscribe totally to that theory, and we've seen it in all sports over the last 30, 40, 50 years for sure. And so you could explain what's going on in the CFL to some degree through that. But I think it runs a little bit deeper. I just think the teams in the West operate in a better way than the ones in the East have. And, yeah, it's – I mean, if I was a fan in Ottawa, Ottawa's 2-6-1, and chances are they'll finish first in the East with a record of 8-9-1. Well, that wouldn't excite me as a fan, you know, knowing that they're a first-place team with a losing record. Yeah. I think that's a tough sell, and I think it's a problem for the league. I really do.
Well, we should get your comment on breaking CFL news this afternoon. Ken Austin out as head coach of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He is still the VP of football operations, and right. He appointed June Jones to take over coaching duties. What are your thoughts there, Bob? Something had to happen there, right?
Yeah, they're 0-8, and I think we were all waiting for the shoe to drop. When we were in Hamilton, Hal, a couple of weeks ago, I was hearing from people around the team that Kent Austin had lost his players, and that's the kind of talk you hear when a team is going as badly as the Ticats have been and still are. So I guess the ownership there, my guess is Austin did not step aside willingly. I'm sure the ownership there said, we just can't go on like this, and the fact that Austin may have lost his players has some validity to it. So I wasn't surprised when they brought June Jones in. You could see something
that brewing. Was the plan. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Hey, Bob, but I've said this to you before, and I don't know what's going to happen tonight. You're right. We can't just mark this off as an automatic win. But this team has gotten better over the last few games, especially. They can come back and win if they have to. They can go out in front and hang on. It's a great team this year. People are excited about the Bombers.
Well, and understandably, Hal, and they've won 4 games in a row, so I think they've sort of created this aura with the fans in Winnipeg who are so hungry for a championship team that it's even hard to put into words. They've created this aura that nobody's ever going to beat them again. Well, I think that's probably a little bit unrealistic. Defensively, they still give up a lot of yards, more yards than they probably should if they're going to be a championship team. So I'm not trying to be negative here, Hal. I'm just trying to lay it out for you. I like this Bomber team. I like it a lot. And yeah. What I like most about it is it scores a lot of points. They've scored an average of 33 points a game, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
And that's why they're as successful as they are. They need to tighten up defensively. I tell you what, if they come up with one of those real solid team efforts and a win tonight in a tough place to win. Again, Montreal's 3-1 here at home this year. That will be just another sort of sliver of proof that the Bombers really, really have something going for them.
All right, Bob Irving, we're going to let you get back to preparations for the pregame show tonight. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Okay, guys.
Bob Irving joining
we'll
us
listening.
Live from
4
Montreal.
O'clock. Yep.
Pregame show, 4 o'clock. Kickoff at 6:30, so that means no Richard Clute and Julie Buckingham.
Why are they here, though? That's what I don't understand. Why are they here today?
Well,
I would be home watching Young and Restless or something.
Got to put them to work somehow. They can't
but
just
what
get
are they
a free
working
day
on?
Off.
They have no show. What are they working on?
I don't know.
Somebody should. I don't think they're working on anything. Somebody needs to go out there and find out what they're working on. Okay. And I'm not going to do it. That's your job.
Okay, I'll go have a pee. 204-780-6868 is the number if you want to text us any score predictions. Last week we had some wild score predictions. I know somebody predicted Edmonton 61-9
oh, wow.
over the Bombers. So that was a little wrong.
I think this could be an easy game for the Blue tonight.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think it might be a bit of a running up the score on our part. We'll see.
Well, if you agree with Hal, let us know. 204-780-6868. We're going to check your forecast up next. So we gave away those Chris Jericho tickets,
yes.
Hal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Dale Sawchuk was the winner. He called. The question was, what is Chris Jericho's real name? The answer is Ted Irvin. That's his dad. Chris Irvin.
Yes.
And then he called us back and said, oh, you know what? My wife reminded me that we have tickets to the Phantom of the Opera tomorrow night.
Oh, yes.
So Dale can no longer go to
that
see Chris Jericho.
We're giving them away again.
We're giving away the Y2J
Perfect.
Tickets again. So once again, in case you're just tuning in, Chris Jericho, tomorrow night at the Words of Jericho, Club Region Event Center with Cyrus and Lance Storm. And we came up with a new question. Who was Chris Jericho's... Oh, and I'm going to have to tell Savannah what the answer is. Who was Chris Jericho's first match against in the WWE? Here's a hint. It was in Winnipeg. 204-780-6868 is the number to call. Again, who was Chris Jericho's first match against in the WWE right here in Winnipeg? Savannah, I'm just going to throw the name up into our little system here. You can see it.
And you were there.
I was there. And it was interesting because The Rock was supposed to be the headliner. It was like a Saturday afternoon. They call it a house show. So
right.
It's not one that is not televised. The Rock was supposed to be there, and The Rock was my favorite guy. So I was really excited to see the great one, the people's champion. But then they came out with this BS story that The Rock was unable to make it to Winnipeg because there was a terrorist situation at the Miami airport where he was coming from, and his plane didn't make it. It was just an elaborate scheme to make Chris Jericho the headliner, which actually ended up being super cool because he's from Winnipeg, and his first performance in WWE outside of his televised banter, his first match was here in Winnipeg. So that, you need to know the answer to that, 204-780-6868. And if you know the answer, then you might be going to see Chris Jericho tomorrow night. I had a dilemma too. I was offered tickets for the Jericho show tomorrow, and I'm in the same boat as Dale. I'm going to see the Phantom tomorrow, but how do you pick from that? It's tough.
Yeah, that is a tough one. I think you've got to, I don't know. Yeah, I was going to say, I think you go with a Phantom, but that's because I was the driver last night for my wife and her mother, right?
Yeah.
So they went to Phantom opening night, and they said it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I mean, the two of them just chatter back and forth after the show. It was great. It's I think it's like 2.5 hours. It is a longer show.
Yeah.
But apparently the special effects are through the roof compared to past productions. And
oh, good.
Yeah, special effect. They said the chandelier is incredible. And yeah, so very, very good show.
That was what got me when I saw it in Toronto. I was at the Pantages in its closing run. That was when Paul Stanley was the Phantom. Mm-hmm. Although it wasn't him that night. It was stand-in or whatever they call it.
Yeah, right.
And... if you've never been to the Phantom, from what I remember, there it opens with this scene of people sort of just looking in like what looks like a warehouse where there's this tarp over top of something, and they're talking about something that happened in the days of yore, a long time ago, and then the tarp gets pulled away, and the chandelier gets yanked up to the ceiling, along with the music that burr, and my jaw was on the floor for the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah. It was great. I saw it same as you in the, I guess, late 90s. Here, saw it here. But I really, and I saw Les Mis. Boy, it's close, but I like Les Mis more than Phantom. But by all accounts, you were in for a good show tomorrow night, sir.
And it's pretty incredible what they do with these, like, because when I saw it in Toronto, they essentially retrofitted that theater specifically for that show. But this is a touring show where they, you know, they can't alter the infrastructure of the building.
No, but still incredible. From what my wife and her mom said last night, just amazing. And I think they've got I read they have a cast of 52, and that includes orchestra. So it's really one of the biggest of all the Phantom productions that are touring right now. So we're lucky to get it.
No, and when I saw Book of Mormon, I guess that was that earlier this year? That doesn't matter. When I recently saw Book of Mormon, I was stunned at just the level of production that goes into this. And I often make jokes on the show that I'm an uncultured lout. So that these things are examples of why I am an uncultured lout, because I'm so surprised. Like, oh, look at the neat things they can do at the theater.
Oh, how far you've come, though, Brett. Look, you picked Phantom of the Opera over Chris Jericho.
That's true. Oh, Savannah's telling me no one has the answer. Okay.
Nobody knows. We got to give a hint or what?
Yeah, I have to give a hint. So, Chris, the question is, who is Chris Jericho's first match against in the WWE? It was right here in Winnipeg. He carries a nightstick. That should be hint enough. 204-780-6868. Hopefully somebody knows the answer. Got a couple of text messages here on the Bomber scores. So Mick is predicting Bombers 31-24. Durant is going to get knocked on his butt more than once.
Right.
Another text from Sherry says the wife's prediction is Winnipeg 35, Montreal 24. That's interesting. Yeah. Two people back to back saying Montreal 24. Mm. Dave says Bombers 36-12. What do I win?
What do I win? I took a stab. What do I win? Did I win something? 36-12. That's the two numbers I win.
Give me a prize.
What do I win?
Dean says Winnipeg 32, Montreal 17. Oh, so last the texter is way more optimistic this week, because last week it was most of the texters were predicting Bomber destruction.
Right, because see, it was Edmonton, right, undefeated. I understand that, but yeah. I think it could be a bit of a rout tonight. Yeah. I tend to agree.
I'm going to go on the opposite end. I don't think they're going to lose, but I think it might end up being a lot closer than the Bombers would like, because the last one was 41-40. They had to pull that out just at the last second.
And in many ways shouldn't have won that game.
Yeah.
You know, really, right? But they did.
That's what happens when your things are going your way. You start winning those close games.
Team is great this year, though. As I said to Bob, it's just such a great team this year. I feel like on defense, they needed some work, and I think they're getting better. And I feel like that this team this year is in it. Even if they're behind at the end, I feel like they can come back and win it.
Yeah. Coming up to 2:30. After the 2:30 news, we're going to tell you a story of a man from England who, in England, in Bristol, England, 3 weeks ago, met a woman from Winnipeg. He can't remember her name, and he reached out to 680 CJOB to try to help find her.
This is a good story. You've got to stick around for this.
That's coming up after Global News at 2:30. Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson filling in for Greg Mackling for the next couple of days. We'll be joining us tomorrow at Santa Lucia Pizza.
I can't wait. What are we having on our pizza tomorrow?
Patio, what do you like in your pizza?
I don't have pizza very often anymore, so I have to think about this. I'm usually a meat guy. I like pepperoni. How about pepperoni, salami, extra cheese?
That sounds like a good idea. There's also there's the Joe Aiello special.
Oh, what's on that?
I'm just trying to remember what that is.
Let me guess. Ham.
It has extra sauce as well. I'll have to pull up where is the menu? Come on.
They're celebrating 40 years. We had Trisha Birch on my show on the weekend, because of course this is their 40th anniversary of that location. And I think they had $6 pizzas on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they had a bunch of other stuff going on, so I told her I was looking forward to being there on Friday with you up on the patio.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be fun. And I found it. It's a pizza for charity, pepperoni, side bacon, mushrooms, and extra sauce. Proceeds from each pizza go to local charities within the community. We can, whatever you want, man.
Okay.
It's going to be fun having you out on the patio with a retractable roof. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to our next story, just want to quickly congratulate Peter Unruh, who was able to answer the second trivia question we had for Chris Jericho for the Words of Jericho happening tomorrow night at Club Region Event Center. The question was apparently an ungooglable question.
Which is great, because if people can't get it, they'll just Google it.
Yeah.
But apparently, you were there, so you know. So who did he wrestle here in Winnipeg, his first match in the WWE?
It was the Big Boss Man.
Ah!
No one got it. We had to give a hint, and the hint was he carries a nightstick.
Right.
And while I was reading the news, I'm reading a story, and I go, oh, it was a nightstick on a pole match. So they tied the nightstick to the top of this pole.
Yeah.
And to win the match, you had to get the nightstick off of the pole. So the idea was that you prevent the other guy from getting to it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Chris Jericho beat the snot out of him with the nightstick. So anyway, that was... So congratulations, Peter. It was basically you had to be there to get the answer.
Yeah.
So now, let's move on to our next story here, Hal. This is incredible.
I love this one.
We get an email at the station the other day, cjobnews@cjob.com. Hi, I'm wondering if your station can help me get in touch with someone by putting a request out on your airways. I'm trying to reach out to a friend I met here in Bristol, England, 3 weeks ago. Unfortunately, I can't remember her name, but she was over here in Bristol visiting her brother, and we got on very well. I believe she is 31 and may work for the government statistics department. I would very much like to make contact again and stay in touch, so if any of your listeners know of someone who is visiting their brother in Bristol, England in the last few weeks, then I would ask them to let her know that I would like to get in touch. She will hopefully remember my name. Well, it's funny. He says she will remember my name, which is Matt. He doesn't remember her name, but she will remember my name. I thank you in advance, Matt, who, by the way, is 39. So Hal, we decided to call Matt and have a chat to find out exactly what it is he's looking to accomplish here.
I guess I just want to get back in contact with her. We had a good time and just become like a modern day pen pal, I guess. Facebook buddies, you know, just to stay in contact, learn about life in beautiful Canada with a mate, you know.
Matt, you forgot her name.
I know.
What's her name, Matt? A name would be helpful.
There was a lot of alcohol involved. I did know at the start of the night.
At least you're honest.
How did you meet this woman?
I was invited out in Bristol to a leave-in do with some old colleagues. We all started drinking quite early on. And one of our mates is a very outgoing lesbian. She bumped into the girls first, the Canadian girls first, I thought, oh, Canadian girls, how cool! So I started talking to them, and we became very good friends quite quickly. It was a good evening.
It was just the one night that you encountered this group of women?
Yes, yeah, it was, yeah.
And you're looking for one in particular from Winnipeg. You don't know her name, Matt. We've already pointed that out. What do you know about this woman in Winnipeg you want to try and reconnect with?
I remember she did tell me a name at the start of the night, but I've forgotten because, as I said, a lot of alcohol involved. I do remember her saying that it was a very English name, you know, both Christian and surname. And I agreed at the time it was a very English name. She was 31. I remember her saying she worked for the, government statistics department. I think that's in your city, isn't it?
Yeah, probably somewhere. Statistics Canada, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She had nice dark hair up in a bun. I remember that.
And she was visiting her brother, right? Was that part of it, too?
That's right. That's right, yeah. So her brother's over here. She was visiting her brother with a mate in Bristol. So he's over here. And then they were going on to London to something, some sort of do.
Do you remember what she was wearing?
I remember what she was wearing. She had leggings and dark shoes and some sort of satchel thing. Must be trendy in Canada.
I'm sorry, Matt. You have a great memory, except when it comes to names. Apparently, this is crazy. So let me ask you a question: Is this potentially a love connection, or you just really want to reconnect because you want to be friends, or are you hoping maybe she's single and interested?
No, I think there's a lot of water between us. There's a big old ocean there. Just mates. I think Canada's a beautiful country. It'd be cool to have a mate that I know, and got on well with in Canada. I think it'd be cool to keep in touch, really.
So there were no romantic sparks that night?
There were a lot at the time. I don't want to say too much, just in case of dad's listening.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want him hunting me down. But,
well, I'll tell you what, Matt. If we don't find this mystery woman, I like your accent. Yeah. I'll be your friend.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you're just looking for a friend in Canada, although I suspect there's more there, but, you know.
That's cool. I was kind of hoping it would be her, but you can be my friend.
Have you ever done anything like this before, Matt? I mean, you're reaching out to a radio station in a city thousands of, across an ocean to try and track down a woman you met for a few hours one night, and you can't remember her name.
I can't even remember her name. I know. What are the Brits like? They're crazy, aren't they? Jesus. I just thought what an idea. I give the radio station a go. What's the best one? This one.
Well, you got that right. Yeah.
What's the name of the place that you were drinking at?
There are a few. It was quite a large area of Bristol.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to answer that question. Yeah. Brent and I are both nodding. We understand completely the kind of night it was. Yeah.
It was good fun. It was good fun. And I thought, well, it would be really cool to see if we can get back in touch and stay in touch.
Okay, so let's recap here. Let's recap. We don't have a name. 31.
Okay, there's not much to go on. But
31, she works for government statistics or something like that. She was in Bristol visiting her brother. She was going on to London. Was she there with friends?
She was there with one friend, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think I ever knew her name.
So if somebody out there listening goes, hey, that sounds like whoever, you hope that they'll get in touch with us so we can pass the name and info on to you.
Yeah, I mean, how many people from Winnipeg have recently come back from Bristol? Not many, I don't think.
Well, we're going to try to solve this riddle for you, Matt, and hopefully we'll be in touch with you soon, okay?
Okay, brother, that'd be cool.
And get this, Hal, after our chat, he emails me and he says, hey, Brett, something you're also welcome to mention is that we got kicked out of two clubs for being too friendly with each other.
Oh,
I remember.
This is a love connection. He can say whatever he's looking for a mate. Yeah, he wants love here.
And
absolutely.
He also added his memory was jogged. He says her name may have been Helen.
Well, that's even worse, really, when you think about it. It might have been Helen. Stick with I don't know. It might have been Helen. Could have been Helena. Could have been Ellen. Might have been Harold. No, it wouldn't have been Harold.
204-780-6868 is our number. We're trying to find this woman, or at least somebody who knows this woman, because he makes a good point. Yeah. How many Winnipeggers were in Bristol,
England? 3 weeks ago, visiting their brother.
He says she's 31, works for the government statistics department, which has to be Statistics Canada.
Must be, yeah.
And she was in Bristol, England.
I mean, the guy's not dumb because he did go to the big 50,000-watt blowtorch, right?
Yep.
Which, you know, we're going to get the message out there now. Now, if somebody has been listening and thinks, hey, that might be whoever, call us. Let us know. 204-780-6868. And maybe there are people out there with advice for Matt, right? He's done this to try and find her. What else could he do to try and find her?
204-780-6868 is the number to call. You can also text us at that number and email hal@cjob.com or brett@cjob.com.
Have you ever been in a situation like this where you've gone, oh man, I really liked her. Why didn't I get her name and number?
Yes, it happened in Mazatlan in Mexico 12 years ago. And I'll tell you that actually.
Okay.
I'll tell you that after we check your forecast next. Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson filling in for Greg Mackling. And we just told you the story of Matt Trim, who is from Bristol, England, 3 weeks ago. A couple of ladies from Winnipeg are over there. He met these women through a friend and he got on well with one of them. Unfortunately, he can't remember her name because a lot of alcohol was consumed.
Yes.
But he says they got kicked out of two clubs for being too friendly with each other. So he's looking to reconnect or make a connection with this woman. He says she's 31 and he thinks she works in a government statistics department. And he wants to know who she is. So we're wondering if you know who she is. A couple of funny text messages.
Or if you have any ideas how he can try and track her down. I mean, he's been pretty smart so far.
Yeah, he reached out to us.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and he thinks her name might be Helen. So we got a text here that says, hopefully Helen doesn't have a boyfriend or husband back in Winnipeg, because that would be a tough one to explain. We actually got three texts all along the same lines. Kent says, I sure hope this Winnipeg woman wasn't on vacation from her husband or boyfriend while in England, because she's busted now. And then finally, Terry says, what if she's attached or married? Good Lord.
Yeah.
Now, this actually reminds me of a story, because you asked me if this has ever happened to me. So when I'm 39 now, when I was 28, we went down to Mazatlan in, I think it was February, and that's in Mexico. And I met a woman from Ottawa. Her name was Christine. And, you know, I went with four guys and we were all talking to her and her friend and we got along because we were staying at the same resort. So we were all sort of chumming around and we would go to the same places together. And And there was one night where we had, we were on vacation. We were in our 20s in Mexico. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of inebriation.
Sure.
So at one point, Christine and I started to get along very well in the elevator. And then we decided that it would be an intelligent thing to go up to the roof because the door was open leading up to the roof. So we went up to the roof.
Very, very romantic as well,
yes,
Brett.
Yes, that's right. And and we were preparing. Things were going to happen on this roof. And then she says to me, "I love you." And immediately, I couldn't continue. I kind of snapped out of it, and I thought.
Right.
I can't do this.
Yeah, you weren't in love, is what you're telling me.
Well, she clearly was not in her.
Yeah.
If she's
not
that
in a right
drunk,
place, yeah.
I couldn't go through with that because I would have felt like I was taking advantage
right,
of her.
Yes.
So
what a gentleman.
But I started laughing. My reaction was the worst thing I could have done, and I started laughing. And she started hitting me, like not punching me, but she was kind of slapping my shoulder.
Yeah.
And she was crying, so I had to. But she could barely walk, so I had to take her back to her hotel, which was super awkward at this point because she's cursing me up, and I take her back to her hotel room. And the next day, she very sheepishly and embarrassingly said thanks for getting me back to the hotel room. And, we talked after that, but it was kind of awkward. But I wish to this day that I had gotten her phone number or some way to contact her.
Yeah.
And, even if I went on
Where
Facebook.
Where was she from?
Ottawa.
Well, let's call. We've got stations in Ottawa. Let's get on there. Let's do this.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of great text messages, by the way, and people are making some great points here. What if she wants nothing to do with him? What if she's, you've already said this one, Brett, but what if she's taken? What if she's married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know. Now I'm starting to get nervous.
What's, maybe we opened up Pandora's box?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But why can't you remember her name? That's crazy to me. That is just nuts.
We got a text here from B-Rad who says, Brettman! Apparently, I'm a superhero now. There is this woman in Selkirk where I live, and she lives. We were pals of mutual friends in high school. I saw her at co-op 5 years ago, chatted a little, but said, hey, we're both single. We should get together. And I never saw her again.
Mm.
Always looking down the store aisles for her. So, that's too bad. You bump into somebody and you think you've made yourself a love connection, and then you can't find them again.
Here's another good one, another great text here, 204-780-6868. Hey, call StatsCan. They're here in Winnipeg. I work there, small office. They would probably know who went to Bristol, England recently.
Oh, boy. That's actually a great idea. We'll have to try that out.
Yeah.
We're hoping to hear from Our Lady Peace. We're expecting they're performing down the hall right now at Power 97. So they're going to come over here. A couple of the members of the band, Rain Maida and Steve Mazur, we're hoping that they're going to have time to sneak over here and have a quick chat with us after the 3 o'clock news. They would have been huge right around when you were doing rock radio.
Well, I was just going to say, Naveed and Clumsy, those would have been, records that we would have played on Power. Absolutely. Yeah. And, we should mention that they're here because they are opening for Guns N' Roses tonight, which I wonder what that's like, here you are in front of 30, 40,000 people, right? And how many of those people, they aren't really there to see you, right? I'll get this out of my system now before the guys from OLP come over here. But it'd be kind of weird because that's a big deal. Man, we're opening for Guns N' Roses, all these people, but a lot of them are waiting to see the other band, right?
Yeah.
So that would be a weird dynamic as an artist, I think.
But I did see at least one person on Facebook posted yesterday, I'm going to GNR tomorrow. That's cool, but I'm even more excited for Our Lady Peace.
They are a great band. And Phil Aubrey from Power 97, who we had on earlier, said that. He said, we were kind of thinking, where are we going to go for a couple of bevvies ahead of time? And they said, hey, well, let's just go early and we'll watch Our Lady Peace.
Yeah. So, they're going to put on a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, in case anybody's tuning in wondering where Carolyn Klassen is this half hour, she's just taking a week off. She'll be back next Thursday at 2:30. And we have Dr. Cyrus in for his regular Friday 2:30 visit tomorrow.
The truth is I had too many problems and she didn't want to deal with them all in one week. She's like, I can't handle this guy's problem.
Global News is coming up next. Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson filling in for Greg Mackling for the next couple of days. Just got to tell you that there's a crash, gravel truck, rear-ended a half ton on northbound Route 90 just north of Taylor in the median lane, right where it goes down to two lanes. Once again, gravel truck, rear-ended a half ton on northbound Route 90 just north of Taylor in the median lane, right where it goes down to two lanes. I'm shocked, Hal. There's something happening on Route 90 as we head into the afternoon drive.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, crazy. And be careful out there.
Louise Bridge also closed for this afternoon. Getting a couple of text messages about this Matt story. It's captured the imagination of some people.
It has, and it's interesting, too, some of the conversations, you know, some things that I didn't really think about when we were talking to him that really, you know, we should. Somebody mentioned that there's also a provincial office of vital statistics.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, we should explain. Matt is in Bristol, England. He got a hold of us and said, help me find her. I don't know her name, but help me find her. We really hit it off. I'd like to, you know, stay in touch. Apparently she was in Bristol a few weeks ago visiting her brother. And yeah, so he got a hold of us and we're trying to get it out there. Here's one, Hal and Brett. I had the same regret as the gentleman searching for the woman last November. On my way home from LA, I met a young man coming over from Australia to live in BC. I regret not sharing my contact info with him. You should always go for it, right? Like, you know, at that time you think, boy, this seems like kind of a cool person. Maybe I'm, you know, might be interested in getting to know this person. Just go, here's my card.
Yep.
Right? Leave it with them. Then they can call you or whatever. They don't have to. But at least you gave it a shot, right? Because they might be thinking the same thing about you. And if you don't do anything about it, who knows? That might have been your soulmate.
Yeah, for sure. Right? I can't tell you how many. Just never mind people that you cross paths with from other places. Just in Winnipeg alone.
Right.
The number of girls and women that I have over the years from when I was right through from when I was a teenager up until now that I have thought of, like, admired from afar and done nothing about it.
I've used radio as an excuse to do it, but I have actually phoned girls that I was interested in as kind of a gag, sort of like, hey, Marina, remember Hal Anderson? And, you know, as a radio bit, but in reality, I'm like, what? I wasn't good enough? What? You know, I'm the 34th greatest Canadian now. Look what you missed out. Look what you missed out on.
Actually, one of the texts is along those lines. Alex texted us at 204-780-6868 regarding Matt's conversation with us. And he says, does that guy from Bristol know he was talking to one of the most famous men in Canada?
Oh, brother. Yes, Brett McGarry. He knew all about it. Yeah. Yeah. But no, I think you got to go for it. You never know. It's like, here's the thing. It's like my wife, who is, you know my wife. You worked with my wife at Taco Bell back in the day. My wife is stunningly beautiful. She has an amazing heart. I can't believe I'm married to her. And you know what? She liked me right from the get-go, and I had no idea. I had no idea. Like, why would she be interested in me? But she was, and, you know, so, yeah, you've always got to go for it. Don't be afraid. Just, I had really good-looking friends that used to hang out with me, and a lot of them hung out with me because they were nervous, even though they were great-looking guys. They were nervous to talk to women. And I was always like, hey, you know, how's it going?
Yeah.
And I was kind of the icebreaker, right? They'd send me in and then they'd swoop in and, you know, I'd go home alone. And
aww.
Yeah, that's always the way it was for me.
Well, you won out. I can vouch for Hal. He's not just not just saying this because he's married to her. Jackie is gorgeous. She was always our favorite at Taco Bell.
Well, she speaks very highly of you and the what were the fights you guys used to have back in the day? Didn't you fill your, was it, sour cream gun fights or something at Taco Bell?
Yeah,
right?
we used to, because the way that the sour cream gun, it was just this plastic shell where you can pop the lid out. We would fill it up with dishwater and just shoot water at each other. So is that Our Lady Peace out there?
I think bring them in. Come on. Yeah, it's live radio. Don't worry about it. Come on in. It's live radio.
Hello,
oh my
Kristen
gosh.
Moran.
What's up,
hello.
Look at this.
Welcome.
Hey, nice to see you. Grab a seat. Grab a seat. Look at this. Rock stars on the show today. My goodness.
Rain made up from gosh. Our Lady Peace.
Nice, it's cold in here.
Yeah, it is cold. What's up?
You guys trying to stay young in here. Cryogenic radio.
Hey, I know you're really in a hurry here, so thanks for taking a few minutes. But when we got the email that you guys were going to be just down the hall, we said, well, come on, we got to try and get them on the show. Coming to Winnipeg, though, this must be like coming home for you in a way, right?
I just had lunch with my in-laws.
Yeah, great people. I sold many hot tubs.
Oh, did you really?
Yes. In fact, when I talked to Chantel a few years ago, I pointed out to her that I paid for a lot of her piano lessons.
Oh, there you go.
By selling a lot of hot tubs for Krevko back in the day.
Love
it. They are wonderful people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. You really married into a great family.
I did.
There. So
they bought lunch.
There you go.
Right?
See? Yeah. I'll ask one question and then I'll let Brett ask. But of course, I played OLP on Power 97 back in the day, here back in 96 with BJ in the morning show and then Wheeler. And, you know, so I obviously know your music well. I was asking out loud on the air a moment ago, what's it like for you doing a gig like tonight where you've got, you know, tens of thousands of people there? And a lot of them are there to see the band coming up after you. I mean, you've got a lot of OLP fans, but that must be a weird dynamic, though, eh?
Yeah, I've been really surprised. It's gone really well. And I think it's in a weird way. We have to. People probably know us, they know our name, or they've
absolutely
heard our music.
They know the music for
but
sure.
Probably a lot of those people, because Guns N' Roses was like the generation before us, maybe haven't seen us. So I feel like over the course of like the 45 minutes that we play, I think we kind of earn the respect, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think, because usually it's pretty easy when we go on stage at our own shows at this point in our career. So this is, I like it. I really like the ability. It's kind of like we go out there with a bit of a battle mindset and we got to earn it, which is cool.
How many shows have you done so far?
Only two.
And what was the reaction like from the crowd?
I've been blown away. Like by the end of the show, it's not our show, but you can feel the love, and that's all we're looking for.
Yeah. Must be cool, though, to say, we're opening up for Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, for sure. When Navi came out, we did 55 dates with Van Halen in the U.S., and that was like the crowd just stood up with the middle finger for us the whole time.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, I just can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that made us a good band. I think without that experience and that kind of humility, we might not be who we are today. So, I mean, it's a long time in between, but the Guns N' Roses thing, it's really no big deal for us. We just kind of do what we do. But again, I like that. I like the fact that we have to go out there and earn it.
Yeah. Hey, we didn't get a chance to play the latest single. Can we play a bit of that, Brett? It's right there. It's
Drop Me in the Water.
Yeah, I've got it. Where do we put it? Sorry. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Put on repeat. I'll stay for next time.
Really great stuff. I mean, you guys I can't believe it's 20 years now since Clumsy, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is nuts.
Can you corroborate a story for me? I don't remember a whole lot of details, which leads me to believe I maybe was one of the offending parties. But you guys did a show here at the University of Manitoba at the multipurpose room right around the time that Clumsy came out. Oof. And Chantal, I believe, was the opening act.
Oh, that's right. Okay, now I remember.
And I think that because at the U of M, so there were, you know, a lot of young, drunk hooligans in the crowd. And
did I fight somebody?
I think Chantal just wasn't being respected by the crowd.
Right.
So your drummer apparently came out and told everyone to stop being young, drunk idiots. Do you remember any of this?
I remember I was very nervous about that show. Just because it's like, it's a rock show. And I know they were at that point, man, it got bananas in those rooms. You know, it was crazy. And to have someone come out and, whether it was my wife or not, like play on a piano.
Right.
Not a probably smart idea. But we did it. And,
it was a great, I mean, you guys put on a great show. I know you got to go. I'll just ask you one more question. You got the honestly the coolest voice, I think, with the craziest range that I've ever heard. But I always wondered, do people ever come up to you and say, hey, I got a great impression of your voice when you hit those high notes, and just and make you listen to them? Or
And make me listen? No, I've people send you clips, especially with YouTube now. It's like cover bands that do us, and yeah, people kill it, even better than me, which sucks. Oh.
Modest after all these years. Ray,
thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks
really
for having
appreciate
me, guys.
You dropping by.
Yeah,
good luck
pleasure.
Tonight. Enjoy. And you guys are like, you're going till November now, right?
Yeah, it's busy now.
Wow,
I know. Yeah. That's good. We're back.
Well,
we're back.
Play safe out there on the road.
Thank you.
When's
the
new album out, by the way?
It came in two volumes, so the first volume drops tomorrow, unless you're on our pledge campaign, which it came today.
Yeah, and check out the pledge campaign,
it's pretty
too.
Cool,
eh?
Yeah, that's
very cool.
Those guys are really good friends of ours at Pledge in New York, and they do a great job. So, and then the second part of the volume comes when the U.S. tour starts in the fall.
Great. Rain Maida with Our Lady Peace, opening up tonight for Guns N' Roses at Investors Group Field. Thanks a lot, Rain. We appreciate the
Thanks,
visit.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Well, look at traffic and weather next. That was neat.
That was cool. You know what? I'll tell you, I have been so lucky in my career to meet a lot of people who are big stars. And that's a big Canadian rock star right there, Rain Maida.
Yeah.
And just really cool people. I can count on one hand, and I don't even use that many fingers on one hand, the number of times where I've been disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you meet somebody and you go, oh, that sucks. Like, why are they a jerk, you know, or whatever, right? Yeah. But no, just, and again, like you pointed out, you know, that was the music. And when I started on Power 97, that's the stuff we were playing, right? OLP and,
cool. I remember buying Navid. I think I actually bought that from Future Shop on Lajimodier when that was a thing. I remember taking the bus down there from then walking over from Regent because I was super excited to buy the CD, and I made sure to listen to it beforehand.
Now, do you miss that? Do you miss buying a CD and being excited about a CD like that? Because look, like there's an example, right? Like when I think he said tomorrow the part of the album streams, right?
Yeah.
Like now you go to YouTube.
Yep.
Right? Or you go, stream it or whatever. Do you miss? Because I know a lot of people that I talk to miss CDs because they can't pull out the liner notes anymore.
I know.
And go, oh, okay, cool. And, you know, I don't know.
I'm with you. And I think we'll have to revisit this.
Okay.
But we do
got to
pause for weather and sports coming up next. Brett McGarry with Hal Anderson filling in for Greg Mackin.
When does the pizza get here? I'm hungry. Oh, that's tomorrow. Sorry, never mind.
Santa Lucia Patio Palooza resumes tomorrow. I think it's actually our last visit, Hal, so you get the anchor leg.
Well, then we're going to have to eat whatever we can.
Yeah.
Take no prisoners tomorrow.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
So we're going to participate in that. But in the meantime, participants and basketballs are needed for an event we want to tell you about now. It's the third annual 100 Basketballs event, and this has to do with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Winnipeg. So to tell us about it, we are joined by Leonard Monkman, who is a volunteer with this event. Leonard, thanks for joining us today on 680 CJOB.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the 100 Basketballs event?
So the 100 Basketballs event is just really a chance to get kids interested in sports. I grew up in Winnipeg North End, and playing basketball really helped to keep me away from trouble. And so we've done it twice in the North End, once at Ralph Brown and once at Turtle Island Community Center last year. And this year we're going to the West End. It's going to be happening at Magnus Eliason Center.
Sorry, Leonard, I'm wondering if maybe you can just tilt your phone a little bit. We're having a hard time hearing you, and I think your cell phone's just cutting out a touch. Where is this event happening?
Happening at the Magnus Eliason Rec Center.
Oh, that's much better. We can hear you loud and clear now, buddy. Thank you.
Okay.
So that's happening. That's at 4:30 Langside. So you say that this is an important event for you because it kept you active when you were younger. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I was saying it kept me out of trouble growing up in Central North End. There's so many different things that can get you into trouble. And so basketball for me, 7 days a week, every single day on the basketball court, after school, in school. So it's really, the goal is to keep kids out of trouble using basketball. And hopefully if you've got at least 10 kids that pick up a basketball, they're going full throttle at it. That's going to be a reflection on our communities.
Yeah, we're still not getting a great connection here on the phone, but we'll plow through this a little bit longer here, Leonard. The thing that I realize about basketball, an event like this, is, you know, a lot of these kids don't have a ton of money. They can't afford a bunch of sports equipment. The great thing about basketball is really what you need is a basketball to play the sport, right?
Yes. It's really like the only sport in Winnipeg. You can play it 7 days a week. All we really need is a basketball. There's a lot of kids, you know, as people overlook the fact that, you know, a basketball is cheap, but then a lot of kids don't necessarily have the money to afford that. So what we're doing is we're just going to give things away for free. So far, we have about 100 basketballs so far, but we're expecting at least 200 kids on Sunday. So we're trying to see if we can get some last-minute donations happening.
So this is happening August 27th. So that is this upcoming Sunday, once again, at Magnus Eliason Rec Center at 4:30 Langside. How many basketballs did you raise last year?
Last year we were able to get 300 basketballs, and the year previously we were able to get 300. So we've got just over 100 so far to date. If anyone does have basketballs, they can drop them off at Big Brothers and Sisters program at 532 Ellis between 9 to 5 tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. So just a basketball, somebody's got an extra one kicking around or an old one the kids have moved on, you'll take it, eh?
Yes, for sure. If not, if you can't make it Friday, you feel free to drop by on Sunday. We're going to be having an all-star game between Indigenous people and newcomers. It's a way of building the bridges between the two communities. There's going to be hot dogs, halal, there'll be music, there'll be a little basketball tournament. This is really an opportunity to bring different cultures together through sport.
That's very cool. This is a great idea. So, and you find it's effective. You've done this several years now. You find that it really does make a difference, eh?
I would say so. Yeah, we've definitely throughout the year, we've seen people like younger Indigenous youth, younger newcomer youth walking around with those specific basketballs. It's great. The game itself is growing in Winnipeg, and I think that we're going to start producing more high caliber talent soon.
What kind of trouble do you think you might have gotten in when you were younger had it not been for basketball?
I mean, there's really so many different things that are available to youth inside the inner city, right? There's gangs, there's drugs, there's alcohol, violence, all of these other different things. But, you know, for me personally, I like to say that basketball was a shield for me from all of those other different things like gangs. You know, walking down the street with a basketball, you're less likely to, you know, get jumped for being a gang affiliate. These people will say, you know what, that kid plays sports. So that's one of the examples that I like to use. For me personally, the sport was really a way to sort of leave everything else out in my life. Whenever I was going through personal problems, I would always be able to go to the basketball court and get rid of those problems.
That's interesting. Wow, I can see where that would maybe be the case. So, I mean, I guess essentially you're trying to keep these kids busy so that they can't be tempted by those negative things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also just, it's a love for the game. I coached at the Spence Neighborhood Association a couple of years ago, and there's different cultures that are coming together through basketball. There's so many different leadership skills that people can learn from playing team sports, you know, leadership skills plus team skills plus competitiveness. And it's just a fun way of staying healthy. It's a good way to get off the couch, get off of social media and get onto the courts.
Well, and you raised an interesting point about being able to just sort of leave everything behind. I mean, I'm now having memories of being in junior high and high school where whatever problems I was dealing with or whatever stresses I was faced with, that would all kind of wash away when you went out onto the basketball court.
Yeah, for sure. There's, you know what, honestly, basketball has been the one thing for me. I feel like it saved my life a couple of times. Going through all different hardships and stuff like that. Like, I've always been able to resort to basketball whenever I needed a break from life. And for me, I'm getting ready to go back into the league this year. Basketball is getting ready to start up. So for me, it's just getting back into shape and having something else to do other than being busy.
What kind of league do you participate in?
It's a men's league at the University of Winnipeg. So it's not super competitive, but it's competitive enough for me to want to get better at it.
What position do you play?
I play point guard.
Oh, you're the leader.
I'm the leader.
Well, Leonard, hey, you're showing some great leadership as well with this event.
Thanks
for taking some time to tell us about it. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. If anyone can drop off a basketball at Big Brothers and Sisters program tomorrow, you got 9 to 5. If not, drop by on Sunday and we'll take a basketball from you.
All right. Once again, this is happening August 27th. It's the third edition of the 100 Basketballs event set to take place at Merck at Magnus Eliasson Rec Center at 4:30 Langside. And once again, if you want to drop off a basketball, you can drop it off at Big Brothers Big Sisters of Winnipeg, or a number of drop-off spots can be found at on the AO and BBBS websites. If you want more information, just shoot me an email, brett@cjob.com, and I'll tell you how you can do it. Last year, they raised 330 basketballs, and they're hoping to raise even more this year. I'm going to pause and take a look at traffic and weather coming up next. Normally, this is where we welcome Richard Clute and Julie Buckingham to tee up the news, but there is no news this afternoon because the pregame show starts at 4 o'clock, 2.5-hour pregame show for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers getting ready for Montreal. Mm-hmm. But while we have a second here, Al, I just got to quickly mention this. There's an event happening on Monday at the Grove Pub and Restaurant at 164 Stafford, which I'm excited about and quite frankly flattered and honored, because I went to see my friends over at Torque Brewing a couple weeks ago to stock up on some supplies for the Laker Classic.
Yes.
And I needed some witty Belgian. And they actually asked me to be a judge in this contest they're having on Monday.
What are you judging?
It's called the Battle of the Wits, or the Battle of the Wheats, depending on how you pronounce it. It's Torque Brewing Company versus Barnhammer Brewing Company, and they're putting their Belgian beers. So Torque has the Witty Belgian, and Barnhammer has Le Sneak Belgique. So they're putting them head-to-head, and I'm going to be one of the judges to determine which is the better one. So the event starts at 4 o'clock. It goes until 11 o'clock. I don't think I have to be there until 6. I hope I don't have to be there until 6, because if it's at 4 o'clock, I'm going to have a bit of a problem. So, yeah, just pop on by to the Grove and say hi if you want on Monday. We'll be judging. They're both delicious beers. So. Yeah.
Cool.
Are you a beer guy?
I'm not a big beer guy, although I do appreciate a nice beer on a cold beer on a hot day. Yeah.
And speaking of pizza, actually, you know what I learned recently? I don't normally like stout beer. Like, it's just that thick, kind of heavy. I've never cared for it, but I learned that they go well with pizza. Because I was on a tasting tour at Peg Beer Company, and they served us flatbread pizza, and we got a flight of different beers, so I tried the stout, and I thought, wow, this goes really well with pizza. Mm. So I feel like I mentioned earlier I'm an uncultured lout, so I think that there's some culture to be learned as far as pairing. I don't know anything about pairing wine with food.
We may have to pair a stout with a Santa Lucia pizza tomorrow, maybe.
See what's on the menu. I can't remember. Yeah. Normally, I just have, if I have anything there at the end of the show, it's a Hoegaarden I'd like to have. So so tomorrow, we didn't do it today, the Rick Springfield tickets.
So we have extra tomorrow, right?
You know what? We forgot to do it yesterday. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
We're going to give away some Rick Springfield tickets. I'm just going to play some Rick Springfield music here.
Oh, good.
Now.
He was a heartthrob in the day, eh?
Oh.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. All the girls liked Rick. The question for today, he's playing, by the way, Wednesday, August 30th at Burton Cummings Theater. So next week, before Rick Springfield made it big on the charts and on television in North America, we mentioned he was on General Hospital as Dr. Noah Drake. Mm-hmm. He was a teen pop star in his native Australia. What was the name of his first successful band? You have three choices. A, Zoot. B, Comic Book Heroes. Or C, The Boogaloos. 204-780-6868. Yes, this is a legit question. I didn't just make this up.
I'm going to guess the Boogaloos, but I don't know. I have no idea, so don't go with me.
204-780-6868. Savannah's got the answer. She can take that in master control. That's all the time we have. Al Anderson, this is fun.
It was fun. I can't wait till tomorrow.
See you on the
pizza
patio.
Promise me pizza tomorrow, though, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Santa Lucia Patio Palooza resumes tomorrow.
See ya. 104. Have a great day.
All right.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.